At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up a little bit later on today, it's a Fan Club Friday, so that means we'll have Josh Briscoe. He's our guest today, stopping by. We'll have a couple drinks. We'll talk some Chiefs offseason. I know he's got plenty of thoughts on that, and who knows what else is going to come up. Let's be real. You know, we're going to have some storms during the show, too, which actually will be fun and different. We know as of Wednesday, we're good to go on those, so if in case it gets a little severe, we're all good to go, man.
Are we?
I'm ready to roll.
I am ready to roll. I think later, if people want later, I've got an update on Desmond's situation.
At school, huh?
Things continue in his budding relationship. We got a lot to get to today, I'd say. We can have some fun with Briscoe later, too. He's, he loves talking Chiefs, but I'm sure that there's a lot of other nonsense that we can get into from what's going on this weekend. You got anything going on this weekend, or you got big plans?
Sunday, I can't wait for Selection Sunday. And tomorrow I'll be at the KC Current home opener, season opener. So that's tomorrow's
plan. That pretty
much
makes up your weekend, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Last night I was out at the Big 12 tournament. We're obviously going to start our conversation today talking about KU and MU, but I decided to go. Tickets just took a nosedive around 4:30 or 5 o'clock because I told you guys, I don't know if I'm going to go out there or not. Like, do I want to spend X amount of money? And they dropped probably $25-$30 a ticket by the time it got to 4:30 or 5. So I went out there. I know, Drew, you were there for the first game at least. I got there towards the end of the first game and then obviously watched the KU-Arizona game. And let's start right there because then we can get to Missouri here in a second. For Kansas, much of the same. Can't finish out games. Flashes. I also think they just dug themselves such a hole early to Arizona. They were down, 11 or 12 points?
Yeah, really early. They closed that gap,
they
though.
They did. To their credit, they closed the gap. They got up, 3 or 4 points in the second half. The building finally had some energy. You thought, okay, maybe they're going to pull something off here. There was then down the stretch the same mistakes that we see. I also thought eventually they just ran out of gas. Hunter Dickinson, you see the flashes of why, he's viewed as one of the better players in the country, but then you also saw why fans are so frustrated with him at times, even on a steal that he had. He almost threw the ball backcourt, and then on an alley-oop for a guy that's, 7'2", he didn't get off the ground, basically. So there's just so many things like that.
Not basically anything. I'm not sure his feet left the ground.
Yeah.
If it was 1/4 inch of a vertical leap.
Right. And then, Zeke Mayo, he delivered in Kansas City. He was stellar again last night. But I think overall this team, all right, now truly how they're judged. People have made up their opinion, but they have maximum of 2 games left, we think. Like a maximum is probably where they're at this point. Maybe you think there's a third if I guess they get to a Sweet 16.
They're probably a 7 seed.
Yeah, I think they're locked into that. I think they're pretty much they're going to be like the second or last 7 seed, depending on where you look on bracketology. It looks like the latest from Lenardi today, they're headed to Denver as a 7 seed, which means they're at 7-10 game. And then you'd play the 2 seed after that, I think, right? That's how the bracket works. So that's where they're at. And it's just been the same frustrations that I think people have seen throughout much of the season.
I wouldn't say this
came out there again yesterday.
This game looked any different than the UCF game. It was just they had a better opponent. They'd go on these micro runs. And Zeke Mayo, for a stretch there, when he was just hitting 3 after 3 after 3.
It was great last night.
and then like pulled the game back in. And look, that's the single best thing to come out of the tournament for him anyway, is at least he's playing with confidence now. Because if Zeke Mayo and Hunter Dickinson play well together in the same game, well, then they win most of those games. Even against really good opponents, they'll win most of the games in which those two guys play well. It just so happened that Zeke was good last night and Hunter Dickinson wasn't. And so they were unable to uncover. And they like ran out of steam there towards the end, too.
I think so, to a certain extent. Yeah.
He has got to be one of the most frustrating players in Kansas basketball history.
Yes.
When I said, I don't know, a month ago, that he looked like a bookcase of athleticism in which he moves, I only feel stronger about that comparison. He looks like he moves with no level of fluidity. It's just like,
I think what
and it's
it
just
is,
like, and it, he can score 20 and 10 every night and still not look good. And I just,
right.
Like,
cause he double doubles throughout the entire season. I mean, so, yeah. And so I think it's the, you know, inside of 5 feet for the basket, how often some quote unquote easy shots for a guy at 7'2" are missed is part of it. We all know about the defensive liability. We've known that since you transferred in, like that was always going to be the case. But I think his quote after the game was exactly right, which is, I can't go out there and play like I did today or we're going to go home early. I've got to bring it. So as much as he might be frustrating for fans to watch, and as great as it is to see Zeke Mayo do his thing, they have to have Hunter Dickinson be great for them to win a tournament game or two. It really is that simple. If he's
their best scoring player, they need him to score a lot of points.
He has to be top-notch for them to win a game or two next week, wherever they're at, whatever seed they are. You and I think they're both going to be a 7 seed. And from a Kansas City perspective, last night's results and yesterday's results really stink
for the city.
You know, the teams remaining are Houston, BYU, Arizona, and Texas Tech. And so a buddy of mine that DJs around town, he had a gig, or at least was supposed to, and peed out. And one of the clubs down there closed early because it was a ghost town. So that's what's kind of crazy, that that was just last night when you still thought there might have been some KU fans and Iowa State fans hanging out.
Still,
and I know it was Thursday night, but that typically wouldn't have been the case. And so tonight, from a Kansas City perspective, I think it was worst case scenario. You don't have KU, you don't have K-State, you don't have Iowa State on a Friday night.
I mean, if you want to see a Big 12 championship game, you can get in for cheap. If you hadn't had a chance to see, you know, like you might see a pro, right? If you see Texas Tech or a future, you know, lottery pick, you could see those things this weekend. And plus, I think people will go out a little bit Friday and Saturday night just because it's the weekend and it's a bit in Kansas City and it's an excuse to get out. So there's part of me that thinks there'll be a little bit of a crowd, but yeah, dream scenario would have been Iowa State, Kansas State, and KU were all still floating around. Certainly Iowa State's always been good, and Kansas, at least on the weekend, like my brother went down kind of last minute, I think, with his family last night. You went down last minute. Maybe you do the same thing tonight, right?
Have you looked at ticket prices at all?
I have not.
I'm guessing they've got to be dirt cheap.
I haven't.
All right, what's your guess for tonight, let alone tomorrow?
20
tonight,
to get in.
Two games, right?
20 to get in.
Drew, do you have a guess? What do you think?
35 to get in, still.
With fees, $29.
Okay, so right in between.
That's just to get in the building for upstairs. Downstairs, I think it looks like, depending on what ticket broker you use, this is with fees included. You can get downstairs. Scroll. I'm still scrolling.
$50.
$41.
Oh, not bad at all. For lower seats?
But I would say out of the fan bases left, based on last night, the P&L area, Arizona, I think, has the most fans remaining at the Big 12 tournament now. Judging by what they looked like in the arena, and then certainly P&L, they were enjoying the nice weather we've had in Kansas City.
Like
there were Arizona fans everywhere.
Surprising, maybe? I thought Texas Tech, maybe? I don't know how
Arizona's
close Lubbock is.
Massive alumni base.
Yeah, sure.
And
Texas Tech and Houston, they don't have like some base that like just shows up big in these tournaments very often.
I mean, I'm concerned Jim Nantz should be here cheering on Houston because, you know,
yeah,
I
that's
feel
his
like
school. The press box or the press area at Houston's arena down in Houston, duh. Is named after Jim Nantz as well. He's obviously a notable alum from Houston. So we'll see. Obviously, the games, though, have been a really entertaining Big 12 tournament.
Yeah,
meanwhile, SEC tournament last night. How about the Missouri Tigers? I think now they get to play with house money the rest of the way. So they get the win
against taking on Florida today, sure.
They get the win against Mississippi State. They defensively looked a little bit better, right? They gave up 73 points in the game compared to the 80-plus they were giving up for a variety, or over 78 points, I guess it was, for five of the last seven prior to that. And as you pointed out, because admittedly, this is a game I watched the first half. By the time the second half happened, I had to just follow on my phone. I was at the KU game, or at least the arena. They did a lot without Mark Mitchell, too, which you got to look at that as some confidence building for the rest of the squad.
The fact that he only played 12 minutes in the entire game. Their best player, their best scorer, only played 12 minutes in the entire game and not at all in the second half. And they still stretched it out and beat Mississippi State. man, I'd be feeling great. Now, the question is still, how is his knee? And what level can he compete against Florida today, right? And where is he health-wise and those things related to it? But to get that out of Bates and Perkins last night, I thought would be a massive confidence boost out of Missouri. And they beat Florida, like, less than 2 months ago in Gainesville. So, like, they beat them on the road. They should feel like this is a team that they can handle. They have to have Mark Mitchell. Let me just be very clear.
Well, sure.
And he has to play well in order to do it. To get only 12 points out of Mitchell and Grill and still beat Mississippi State really speaks to probably how well balanced they were in that game and just how well other guys showed up.
So Florida's a lot better now than they were a month or so ago. I mean, there's a lot of people that truly believe Florida is maybe the best team in the country. Yeah. So tonight, I think it's all about house money.
You make a massive statement by winning.
Your seeding is not going to get worse. That wherever you think they're at, depending on your bracketologist, whatever you are out there seeding, you think they're a six seed, to me, they can't do any worse than that. If you think they're a seven, they can't do any worse than that. They're now going up against one of the best teams in the country. If they win tonight against Florida, where they're 8.5-point underdogs, then all of a sudden they have a chance to obviously get to a semifinal in the SEC tournament, and we're talking about them going on a deep run and improving their seeding even by a spot or two if they really went for it, knowing that the type of opponents they would continue to play throughout. So, look, I don't know if they're going to win tonight. I would probably say they're not going to win. Florida, I legit think right now is playing as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah.
But you get the one against Mississippi State to stop the losing streak that you had. You would have gone into the tournament with a four-game losing streak, right, if you would have lost last night. So you just needed that one if you're the Missouri Tigers. Take a deep breath. Feel like hopefully you got some confidence back defensively and see where your draw is going to be. But I think there's a big difference if Missouri could bump off the sixth line and somehow get back to a five seed. That would require a win tonight, though, I think.
Royals have officially announced, by the way, people were expecting this news anyway, that Alex Gordon has officially been elected a member of the Royals Hall of Fame, obviously his most famous at bat, hitting a home run in the World Series as a member of the Kansas City Royals. He was one of their single biggest prospects of all time. He obviously was a long-term Royal, ended up signing that extension when it seemed like he could end up leaving. He's one of the more successful Royals of all time. I know his career wasn't quite what people thought it was going to be, like, maybe coming out of Double A. I mean, he had a great...
Well-deserved, yeah.
And he moved to town, and it's well-deserved, and he's a great guy. If anybody's ever had a chance to interact with him regularly, he is really a good dude. And, yeah, he put up some counting stats here in Kansas City, considering their history, and he's a guy who deserves it. That feels like a Royals Hall of Famer, if I've ever heard one, right? That just has the energy of a Royals Hall of Famer, Alex Gordon.
Yeah, I believe he'll speak later on today. I know Vern will be on that press conference call a little bit later on. We are expecting to check in with Vern. Might be a little bit later than our normal time today because of Alex Gordon's announcement. And now, as you said, it is official. That was the speculation. The Royals social media team did a good job with some of these teaser videos and clips. And everybody kind of was guessing that it was going to be Gordon. But
you could tell by the way he walks and moves.
The video yesterday in particular, it sounds weird, but when you've had an athlete in your town for as long as we did, right? You get used to how their mannerisms are and things like that, right? And that's what it was in the video yesterday or even the day before. So congrats to Alex Gordon, going to be the newest member to the Royals Hall of Fame. And obviously this year at Kauffman, obviously on the field, you hope just the team itself is going to be extremely competitive again. But there's a ton of just really cool secondary things that you're going to be able to see throughout the year at Kauffman. We know Moose is going to have his retirement ceremony. You've got the 10-year anniversary from the World Series 2015 team and the gala they're doing, but they'll also do the cool event at the stadium. Now I'm assuming there'll be something, of course, I don't know if they've announced the date yet, Cody, but there'll be an Alex Gordon retirement or a Hall of Fame, ceremony announcement kind of thing too. So there's a bunch of really cool things throughout the season, secondary to the main product, which is, of course, the 2025 Royals.
Other than the home run, what's your favorite Alex Gordon memory?
Oh, boy. Well, for me, so it's weird.
The home run's one.
Yeah, for me, it's actually this because little do we know what the career would look like, but I was at opening day against the Boston Red Sox how old would I? I don't even, I went with it. Maybe freshman in high school. I don't know if that's the right timeline. Maybe even younger. Maybe junior high. Anyway, I was there with my dad and Gordon's debut, right? He steps in the batter's box. I think the bases were loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And standing ovation. And just at that point in time in my life, you have to understand, the Royals hadn't done jack bleep.
And
so,
that was like, so a I'm thinking, huge
so I'm thinking, I'm thinking,
from
I'm thinking
a.
this guy, I'm thinking, here it is. This is our biggest star we're ever going to have right here. And obviously the start of his career didn't pan out to live up to that hype. But we all know the rest is history. Multiple Gold Glove awards, a World Series champion, all of it, now a Royals Hall of Famer. But that probably is the moment I'll remember, just because it was the beginning of his career. And that was just a really, even though it's not like he had a walk-off home run or a grand slam, but he actually, I think, struck out, but if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
But that was just a really cool moment, other than obviously against the Mets in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, off Juris Familia to dead center for like, I don't know, 450 feet or whatever it was. I mean, it was a massive home run, obviously a franchise-altering home run. But a lot of it is like, I guess some of it is I just think of him as like the left fielder. Like the guy who's constantly gunning people out, crashing into the wall. You just constantly remember the level. You know, he was a Platinum Gold Glove Award winner, not just a Gold Glove Award winner. He's one of, like, defensively, he's the best left fielder in Royals history. So there's just a lot to love about it. So, yeah, I'm happy to see Alex Gordon, Kansas City kid, like, as in, like, lives here now, right? Happy to see him become a Royals Hall of Famer. It's really cool. Speaking of Royals baseball, Vern has come on our show a couple of different times and mentioned that he thinks that Vinny Pasquantino is undervalued as far as nationally and what his expectations should be going into the season. So let's talk about it. What kind of year do we expect from Vinny Pasquantino? Do we expect him to play 150 games? Do we expect him to be a 25 to, you know, or a 20 home run guy?
Yeah,
do we expect, like, because as I go into the year, he was a run producer last year with Jonathan India. I expect him to do that again. I expect Vinny to be around 100 RBI, and I do expect him to stay healthy this year because I thought he was working towards that, and the shoulder stuff was done, and then an accident happened with him and Lucas Erceg, and he fell further down there. The biggest question I have is whether or not he can improve his on-base stuff, because that's what will really propel him into kind of the next level, I think, in baseball.
For me, it's not expect him to be healthy. I think that's something that he has to prove himself and everybody throughout the season, right? So, you know, the numbers that I'm saying are just, you know, going to account for the fact that the health thing, of course, he has to get through a season healthy for the first time in his career. He acknowledged that with us. Like, he was joking a little bit, but he's like, look, you may have heard I have an injury history. I think he recognizes that. It sounds like he's tried to maybe approach the offseason even more aggressively than he has before, based off of some of the appearances he's made on this show and talking about working out and everything like that. And so for me, yeah, I mean, the expectation from a statistical standpoint, yeah, over 100 RBI. He was almost there, as we know, but over 100 RBI. You know, I think
270 hitter, I'm probably around there.
Yeah, probably 265, 270, and, you know, 32 plus home runs. That's kind of where
32?
I'm at.
32? 19 last year in 131 games. I'm thinking like 25 to 30. I really do think a breakout year makes a lot of sense for a 26-year-old.
Like, I think 30 home runs is fair to ask for his profile, like, especially knowing where things are potentially trending at his position if somebody that's in the minors ends up hitting very well, and like knowing that the power bat that might exist down in the minors. I'm talking about Cags, obviously. Like, you can say, well, that's not fair to ask for 32 home runs.
But Vinny's a balance bat.
Maybe that's not fair.
He had 30 doubles last year.
But like, if he plays the entire season, If he has, you know, less than 25 home runs, I think that's a little disappointing. I'm not saying he's a straight power hitter, as you said. He's somebody that's going to hit for average as well. But I don't think it's crazy. We were looking at the odds the other day. I think it was even money for him to have over 30 home runs. Like, that's what I'm going to get the exact number again. But we talked to Vern about that a few days ago.
I will say, I would tell him this, but, like, I want him to walk more. Like, more than anything else on the planet, I want him to get on base. He has an excellent eye. Like, he's a very good hitter. He seems to have a good idea of the strike zone. I think that now they're not going to do it yet. Once the challenge system comes into place, that will help Vinny quite a bit as well. He should walk more. And I think with more lineup balance, he will see some of that. And I would expect more of that out of him. But 30 doubles, 19 homers, 97 RBI, all the sac flies. He's just a balanced hitter. That's all I want from Vinny. I just want it for 150 games. That's all.
No, his name's not on the board on FanDuel. I was trying to see what the odds were to hit over 30 home runs. I don't think that's crazy. That's all. Bobby Witt, by the way, to hit over 30 is minus 132.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I'm not going to complain about that. Like, I mean, I think that should be even more.
He has to make it through the season healthy.
Well, that's the thing. All the numbers we're talking about, I think, happen if he makes it through healthy.
Right. Absolutely. But that's fluke injury or not, like, that's still the one thing that has to happen for him in his career right now. Can he get through an entire... This is why, you know, a year ago we had the contract discussion stuff. Like, there should be no rush on the contract. He has to show that he can make it through a whole season before you're going to buy out years of arbitration on somebody. If he makes it through this season healthy, and depending on how they feel about Caglione and everything, then that's a discussion to have next November, this coming November.
I just... Part of it is that... So, like, the way we talk about Vinny's injury versus others is... A lot of times we talk about, like, a guy who can't get through the season. I mean, Vinny played 130 games. He was every day, day in and day out, until Ursig ran into his arm, you know? And it's just like, or until the batter ran into his arm because of the errant throw. But it's just like, I feel so bad for Vinny that, like, now it seemed like the thing that was actually the injury problem, Gold, like we talk about, was solved, right? Like, he had surgery. He feels healthy. He feels good. He was playing every day. There were no questions. The numbers were there. He was going to have 100 RBIs, all the stuff that comes with it, and then that stuff. And then I'll still say, he came back from that injury a lot faster than I was anticipating. Like, he got himself back on the field by the playoffs, one way or the other. So, like, I think we all know that Vinny wants to be on the field as much as anybody wants to be on the field, and he just, like, you know, this year it's just like, don't get snake bit.
Yeah, I think the home run numbers increase this year. Well, I could be way off.
Surprised.
I think it could be way off, but I think not just
Kaufman
because he plays more.
Kaufman is the only problem that creates an issue there, you know?
For sure.
He's going to need to hit more of those on the road. Not just in general, just like for his own sake, you know, that's all. Yesterday, we got exciting news. No more, I don't really care, it's no more Carson Wentz. But you and I both know that Andy Reid's never going into a regular season without a veteran quarterback. And I don't know why I didn't think this name was possible. Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, they're moving on from Carson Wentz. Maybe he has some better opportunities somewhere else. But
I
Andy Reid always
he's
wants
to start in Pittsburgh.
Well, they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers' decision, aren't they? Gardner Minshew, 28 years old, will be 29 before the start of the season, but Andy Reid likes veteran backups. That's the MO. It's why Shane Bouchel a couple years ago, despite maybe playing well in preseason, did not get the backup job. That is just what Andy Reid feels comfortable with. He wants to have somebody of a veteran presence. We've seen it come into play a couple times during the Chiefs' run over the last 5 years or so, right? Chad Henne has had a step up in the past. Carson Wentz really didn't have to be in that spot, fortunately. He played the Week 18 game or whatever it was against Denver, which was just wasn't even his fault. They just a throwaway game plan and everything. But yeah, they're going to go with Gardner Minshew. And from a personality standpoint, yes, it's maybe it'll make training camp a little more interesting. Is he going to pull up the RV to St. Joe? That's what I want to have happen. I want the RV in St. Joe.
You want the RV in St. Joe? Someone was sending us his old training videos when he's working out to Creed's hire.
Mm-hmm.
He's a character. I like characters in a backup quarterback. Plus, Gardner Minshew, like, when he's hot, he can kind of ball. Like, it's not like the kind of guy who you don't want him to start every day, but, like, he is the kind of guy who just, like, has those moments when he steps on a field every once in a while, just kind of gets hot, right? And then, like, plays well for a brief stretch of time if things kind of go that way. I like that in a backup quarterback versus, like, well, they want, you know, the floor is only so much. Forget the floor. I want somebody who, when they start and it just goes well, they look good.
9 touchdowns, 10 picks. Looks like last year in 10 games, 9 starts. Him and Aiden O'Connell, the two quarterbacks there.
He made 9 starts last year? I'm surprised it was that many. How bad was their quarterback? He made 9 starts last year?
Aiden O'Connell got hurt.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know who
he got hurt too, didn't he? I thought he got hurt.
Yeah, I think he did too at some point.
He won the job out of camp. Yeah, that's what it was. He won the job out of camp, and then he got benched. He had a collarbone injury. So he's coming off a collarbone injury.
I don't care about that. He's the backup quarterback. He has all year to recover from the collarbone just as long as nobody gets hurt. I just want a safety net. We've seen backup quarterbacks matter here a little bit in Kansas City, typically only in playoff games and randomly, but it has occasionally mattered. So, fine. More for anything, it's probably like Gold and I are just excited because we got to go sit up in St. Joe for 4 straight weeks. We got to do 10 to 15 shows up there. The interviews vary to a couple of starters to backups. And if we're going to get a backup quarterback, it might as well be this guy, right? I get one fun interview with Gardner Minshew, who seems like a fun person. Cool. I like it.
The Chiefs, I guess, also did re-sign, according to Tom Parasero, in the last, 25 minutes or so. They re-signed Bailey Zappi as well, quarterback, to a one-year deal. So right now it's Mahomes, Minshew, Zappi. Remember, Bailey Zappi was in the Chiefs organization for a little bit last year.
Yeah, and then didn't he end up leaving? Didn't he leave at some point?
For Cleveland, I think, briefly. Cleveland, and then maybe he came back and was on the practice squad. He moved around a little bit.
If there is such a thing, that's not a bad quarterback room.
Yeah, but they won't, they won't keep three. One of them will be on the practice. So unless Gardner Minshew's not healthy or something, my guess is he'll be the backup and Zappi's just going to be given an opportunity.
Backup quarterback battle? Keeping our close eyes on Minshew versus Zappy.
That's right.
August 1st, that's going to be the lead, you know, on the show.
Every day, we will be breaking down Gardner Minshew, Bailey Zappy film. Every day. I'm sure some other show will.
Somebody did look up the numbers on Vinny, and I double-checked it. Over on DraftKings, he's minus 115 for 25 or more, plus 225 for 30-plus. So, like, now, look, that's a plus 225, and you got to wait 162 games, Gold, whether to find out if he's going to hit that number of home runs. But, yeah, I mean, he's historically been, like, the kind of guy. Last year, he would have ended up with 22 or 23 home runs had he stayed healthy instead of the injury kind of late in the year. So to say, hey, hit six more, it's not like a crazy number.
Yeah, I'm not saying to go hit 40 home runs. You know,
I'll say if he hits 30, I almost guarantee Bobby hits 30. Salvi hits 30 pretty frequently between 25 and 30. I mean, all of a sudden you're like,
well, there's your offensive improvement.
Okay. I mean, you know, India and Massey. Massey's a 15 to 20 home run guy. MJ Melendez has been a 18-19 home run guy almost every single year to the tee. So, like, I mean, all of a sudden you're starting to rack up, like, yeah, you don't have your 50 home run guy, which Bobby could be at any moment. I'll never rule out Bobby just all of a sudden turning on 45 or 50. But, I don't think so, but I can't rule it out. Yeah. He's the only guy. Well, him and, I guess, can I rule it out on Salvi now? He wants to hit 48. So. Can I rule out Salvi ever hitting 40 home runs again?
I think so.
You don't think it's ever going to happen again?
I don't believe Salvi's going to hit 45 home runs this season. No.
I'm just asking if you think it's possible ever again. I kind of feel like no. I hope this motivates you. I hope Salvi's listening and be like, to hell with you, I can hit 45 home runs. How many did he hit last year? Wasn't 45.
But it was also his best season in like 3 years,
he
too.
He had 27 last year.
Yeah, and he had 271. One of his silver sluggers, one of his better years in a while, over 100 RBI. But asking him to go and hit another, you know, 15 home runs, I don't.
23 to 27 seems to be his pretty regular range. But that's a lot of guys kind of in that range. Bobby, Vinny, Salvi. If MJ ran into a few more because his swing change made a difference, you would think jumping from 18, if a swing change works, to 2021 doesn't seem out of the question. I like the balance in the offense, I'll say. It just feels like a starting five where everyone averages 12. I know there are better players because Bobby's still the star, but the rest of the guys all feel like if it's going well, they'll have that balance.
Yeah, someone was asking there, what's the average batting average for number three hitters? They say, hey, all the numbers you guys threw out of what you're expecting are good, except his average 265 for a three hitter, that would be a fail. I have to look. I wonder what last year, what was the average batting average for teams, or specifically for playoff teams, I guess, more importantly, but in general, I would care, what was the average batting average
of
number three? Again, the way baseball is going, it's not,
you remember,
you know, maybe like 10, 15 years ago, you know, you had a bunch of guys hitting 285, 290. That doesn't happen on a regular basis. Even for, did teams have number three hitters hitting above 265? I'm sure. I don't know how many though.
The Royals had the ninth best team average in Major League Baseball last year, 269. So, like, teams, there were 21 other teams who were worse than 265. I mean, I just don't think it's, I don't think it's as big of a difference.
You would like it to be up to 270, in fairness to the texter, but I don't know. I mean, for a number three hitter, what the actual average is, that's something we can probably figure out during the show today. I don't have those numbers in front of me.
I imagine I could find it. I'll bet, how many hitters do you even think hit over 300?
Oh, over 300?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not very many. Not very many at all.
Yeah, like three, four? I don't know. I mean, again, and played a qualified number of games, right? Don't give me like
Well, sure. Yeah, somebody played 10 games last year and just, yeah. No, I
didn't. I'm not looking for the guys who, yeah. Not looking for the guys
who managed. I'm curious now the answer to that as well, though. Not the 300. The 300 I know was low above. It's the number three hitters average throughout the season.
There were one, two, three, four, five, six, seven hitters in all of Major League Baseball who hit over 300 last year. Seven.
Yeah, I want the 265 number.
I'll look it up. Yeah. I'll find it out. I mean, do you know how many players are? So there's 26 members per team. I guess there's like 13 and 13, right? So 13, 30 times over. Vinny Pasquantino at 262 is the 50th best batting average in baseball last year. So like, even if you just say there are 33 hitters, this is every hitter in baseball, not just the guys who hit three in their lineup. Every hitter in baseball, he ranked 50th. So, like, I don't think it's as crazy as you think. 270 is probably what he should shoot for. 270 would make him, like, the 40th highest average in Major League Baseball. But I don't know. That's probably about right. You made me look up everyone's three hitter. I don't know if that exact stat exists, but
yeah.
You made me look up everyone's three hitter. He's probably on pace.
All right, coming up next, let's go through the Chiefs' free agent moves to this point in time. Even some grades are already being handed out. And one star pitcher in baseball has some big changes that he'd like to see happen to the sport. Do we like them? We'll tell you next.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Just getting started here on a Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Drew, you said it's an underrated sports weekend ahead. I just saw your tweet. You think underrated with what's going on?
I was just saying, I think there's a lot that's actually going on this weekend. I mean, it's obviously one of the best times of the year. We'll see all the Masters promos, but the Players is going on this weekend. We've got, of course, Selection Sunday, Conference Championship weekend. F1 starts up this weekend. NASCAR's in action, of course, as well. NASCAR's been bagging the most viewed sporting event the last few weeks of the entire weekend. So
staying on top, I guess. Selection Sunday's fine, but I don't like sitting in front of it. I'm not glued into the TV.
Really? I mean, yeah. Was it 4:30? I don't know if they do it at 4:30 or 5 on Sunday. Whenever that start
five,
time is, I will be ready to rock and roll on that show, and I'll watch it.
That's now it comes after the Big Ten title game normally.
Yeah, and they don't delay it like they did a couple years ago where they screwed up, where they dragged that thing on. Now they've actually gotten back to being good about it, where usually after 15 minutes, we pretty much know the entire bracket. Then I'm, to your point, though, Cody, then once they do the unveiling, then I'm out. I don't need to sit and watch the rest of the show.
Give
me the bracket
out,
and I'm out. And then I'll start taking a look at some of the matchups that are fun. And, you know, then everybody either does a bracket or you're already looking at bets. That kind of stuff
you
is
guys
fun,
do,
but I don't need to watch
fill it
that
out as it happens either, right? You guys just print the bracket out afterwards. I print out a blank one and then I go ahead and fill it out. It's a very, I don't know. It's something that I do and I like doing it.
I'll just go on like ESPN's bracket challenge or CBS's bracket challenge and either I'll print off the bracket or I'll just, the digital thing is fine, but I don't do the old school. I know there's plenty of people listening that like to hand fill out the bracket. My handwriting sucks, guys. That's a big reason why I don't do it. My handwriting is awful. So
I can work on it. Improve yourself. You
it's
know?
A little late for that. It's a little late for that.
You're
you know?
Just out now?
We're in a digital world, you know?
I guess.
Let's talk about how the Chiefs have been handling the offseason. Yesterday, they made a lot of their moves official, right? Guys were brought in.
Another
they signed
today,
the deals.
Like
Nick Bolton. Whatever. That's why you're starting to see the social media accounts of the teams actually put out moves that you're like, wait, I thought that happened 4 days ago. It did. It's just now everything's happening and making it official. So the folks over at Arrowhead Pride were going through and giving some of their grades along with ESPN, knowing that it's not done yet, based off the free agent moves and what they addressed, do you think that they deserve an A grade or a B grade?
I think if you look at it in the entirety, because like you could break it down by trade, right? Like, what would we give a grade on Trey Smith deal? You'd be like, well, I mean, they haven't finished it yet. So like, for me, it's like a B minus right now, because you actually need to sign him to the extension before I'm going to give it the solid B, maybe, at least on that end, because right now you're paying him $23 million to franchise tag him. I'm not against it. I thought they got pretty good value for Joe Tooney, in my opinion, considering the age of the player and everything else in between. Honestly, this feels like a B-minus-y, incomplete.
Okay.
Not bad. The Hollywood deal is maybe the best deal. Like, that's the only one if you made me review all the moves, right? If you made me remove Elijah Mitchell, Trey Smith, Tooney, any of the extensions, Bolton, and you made me individually grade them out, after all this, I'd end up giving the Hollywood deal the best grade, because it is way cheaper for way less time than what I think are the comparables in the market at this time. And so for them to get that deal done before, I don't know, Cooper Kupp might get between $12 and $14 million a year today. And he's not
Cooper
Kupp.
He's expected to make his decision today. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that too.
Yeah, he's not Cooper Kupp. I'm not trying to claim he's Cooper Kupp. I'm not like, but for the price, he is Darius Slayton. And Darius Slayton got three for 36. And so when I start looking through it, I actually feel pretty, I feel like it's a B minus. I'd like a few more moves. I didn't love the Bolton one, as you know. So that kind of probably knocks the grade a little bit, but that's where I land there.
Assuming that the tag means they believe they're going to get the extension done with Trey Smith, I actually give it a B plus for the reason that there were not great tackle options out there. And so if you're saying, how can it be a B plus if they didn't get the best tackle? I actually think outside of Ronnie Stanley being flat out available, and he wasn't, we all know, because Baltimore just retained him before he actually got the chance to hit the open market. To me, they got, from a contract value perspective and a guy with a little upside, I actually think Jalen Moore was about as good as they could have done in the 2025 tackle market. Maybe 2 years ago, it's a different story. He wouldn't have been the best option. I'm saying, like, realistically, who is available this offseason, coupled with who we think might be available in the draft, I actually think they did pretty well for themselves at tackle. I agree with you. Obviously, no, I like
the Hollywood Brown. I think they could have done better. I think Stanley was the best tackle deal in free agency, it turns out, after all that. So
sure.
I wish,
but
and they never, reportedly
and he
offered
never,
the same amount of money.
And he just wasn't leaving.
They offered 20. Yeah. Well, reports were he had offers of $24 million from two different teams, like the Commanders
Baltimore.
And the Patriots, I think. Both offered him $24 million a year and he didn't leave.
Yeah,
he
wanted to stay. You go position by position. They address corner. Christian Fulton, going to give them some flexibility with McDuffie. We talked about tackle. Hollywood Brown. Elijah.
A random veteran back.
You know, like Elijah Mitchell, whatever, right? I mean,
they could run any veteran back.
Correct.
I don't want to feel any different about it. Yeah.
I think, you know, the only thing that prevents it from having, nobody can convince me that it was an A free agency. They haven't addressed defensive line.
At all.
If they
That's
brought
why I'm
back,
a B minus.
Yeah. If they brought back Charles Omenihu or another legit veteran comes in the next, you know, week or so, then I think there's a chance you could say free agent signings have an opportunity to get to an A minus. That's why I'm still at a B plus for this free agency period, because they didn't address a clear need. And you can say, well, that's what they're going to do in the draft. I hear you. And I think they will. But that's in order for somebody to get like an A for an offseason, they have to, for a free agency, they have to
fill
hit every single
needs.
Need. And that's hard to do. That's why there's not many teams probably that are out there getting A's. Although we saw on a national level, ESPN gave them a B minus. So they're kind of where you're at as well.
I think
saw
it's a fair grade,
one
honestly.
Other publication. I want to say maybe it was 33rd team. One of the sites that tweets out the graphic every year. Yeah. The Chiefs were one of five teams they gave an A grade to, like the Commanders, the Chiefs. Oh gosh. Who
I would give an A to
the
Broncos,
Bears, probably.
The Bears were the other A grade that got. So there were four or five teams, and they gave the Chiefs still an A. I just don't know how you can give them an A without the defensive line part being addressed.
Well, and what I like the best, one of the things I like the best about versus like the Bears offseason, for instance, is that the Bears have had a very active offseason, and they're trying to do that in order to secure Caleb Williams' future and make sure he's the star they thought they were. They're having to give up a lot of this year and future draft assets in order to do that. The Chiefs are just wheeling and dealing in free agency. They're not overspending. Like, they're spending more on an average annual than you'd like to do. And Trey Smith might be the biggest overspend if they end up paying him $23 million a year. but it's spread out over a number of years, and he's 26 years old. They have not overspent at running back, at wide receiver, because it's only a two-year deal. They didn't really overspend at left tackle. Like, I feel good about their offseason, partially because they didn't have to waste assets in order to do it yet either. If they had to do that for a defensive lineman, I'd actually feel okay about it. Hopefully there's just more guys out there like a Minshew.
913-586-7965. Someone from the 913 said, hey, well, what if they don't get the contract extension done with Trey Smith? How would you grade it then? Because I said, hey, that's assuming they get the extension done. That's why I give it. Yeah, because it automatically goes from a B plus to me to a C plus or something like that. Because you traded away Joe Tooney, in my opinion, to make sure you could handle the contract of Trey Smith long term. You chose him. You chose the younger option, with the thought that you would get the extension done. It would be a massive mistake if Trey Smith played this season, in my opinion, and we get past the July 15th deadline, and he's making $24 million on a one-year deal.
It means you can't do the other things, too. Like, I know that that means you can't sign the free agent defensive lineman of your dreams, right? I know that those two things don't compute. That's part of the reason I think maybe they haven't signed a defensive lineman yet, is that secretly they would still probably prefer the Trey Smith deal gets done sooner than they have more cap flexibility right away. The problem is that normally, for the amount of money he's going to want, a deadline needs to be in place, and the deadline is 3 months away. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to almost make these defensive linemen signings on the cheap. And if it's just like a guy who had 2.5 sacks last year and they're just bringing in for rotational depth, well then, yeah, it's not going to move the needle. They need to bring in someone of at least the Charles Minshew level, in my opinion.
I think that there's...
like there or better.
I think there's a... it's interesting with how deep the NFL draft is at defensive line. I get the feeling that Calais Campbell still out. There's a couple other guys, but do we even see any of them come off the board until after the draft is done in terms of free agency? Like maybe teams are content with, let's just see how the draft goes. Let's see if we can address the need in the draft. And then if need be, then we can go and get somebody else in free agency at certain positions that they feel are stronger in the draft, where, hey, Calais Campbell might be a $1 for $12 million deal, which is fine, but we can go and get a rookie in the first round or second round and feel solidified at that position where we're younger and we don't have to spend that money to go there. You know, I don't know if that is the thought process of any of the teams that are considering defensive line. I think the Christian Fulton deal might end up, if we look back on it, the most impactful free agency signing for this team.
A lot of flexibility.
Because of the flexibility for Trent McDuffie. He's a reliable guy that you can utilize on the outside. Of course, Spags, we know how good he is with corners and developing those guys with Coach Merritt and everything. So I think that one could be maybe the most important one when we look back at it, either at season's end or just maybe in the middle of the season.
Am I wrong? So, like, the text line had sent in that Charles Minshew said he wasn't coming back. Did he say that?
I think he had...
I tried to go to his Twitter page and I didn't
see it. So, last week... maybe Thursday or Friday, there was a string of tweets clearly out of emotion that he sent out, and they have since been deleted. And I believe in one of them, the talks weren't going well. And so basically it was like, hey, I'm not coming back. And so the tweets have been deleted. Somebody said, why are we still mentioning his name? Well, because he hasn't signed anywhere yet.
I mean,
and
I think that puts him at a lower probability now, but not zero.
Because I would still like him back, and he hasn't signed anywhere yet. So when we're talking about defensive line help, yeah, his name still is part of the equation as an option. That's all I'm saying. Am I reporting he's signing with Kansas City? No. But until he signs somewhere else, and the fact that they deleted the tweet and he was clearly emotional about it, I don't think it's crazy to say he's still a option in free agency. That's all.
He's at least one of the possibilities amongst a number of other guys on the defensive line who are still out in free agency. But yeah, I get it. He's emotional. He wants to get his big payday. And unfortunately for him, he's been hurt. He's been hurt before his big payday.
Look, it's Friday, March 14th. This whole week, he's not signed anywhere else. That's pretty telling.
Do you think he's going to get a multi-year deal? Or do you think it's another one-off?
I think it's a two. I think his next deal is like a 2 for $25.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I'm coming down to my number, obviously. I'm still shocked that.
Turk
and
Warden,
honestly, I think that'd be a great deal. If Javon Kinlaw can get 3 for $45 and Turk Wharton can get 3 for $54, it didn't seem crazy to me that 3 for $45 was on the table for Charles Minshew, even coming off of the injury stuff. But it sounds like everyone's not doing that. There's something about his injury history.
I'm confused by this.
Some other version.
I'm confused though. Like, are people upset that he? So you can't
be upset at him.
Someone didn't say
he hated the Chiefs.
Someone says deleting a tweet doesn't mean it didn't happen. Good riddance. He said he wasn't coming back. He didn't say he hated Kansas City. It's in reference to contract negotiations. Basically, he probably got the clue.
Dang.
He might have got the clue that financially it wasn't going to work. you're acting like the guy like torched the city. I completely disagree with.
Whoever, I didn't see the tweets, so, but I seriously doubt. I think I would have seen it. If
he didn't say
the city.
He didn't say screw Kansas City. You're a bunch of bleeps. No, he said, look, I'm not coming back to Kansas City. You know, I'm paraphrasing here because I know exactly what.
It's
what
not
the
like what's been happening with
about.
Dexter Lawrence and Micah Parsons.
We're gonna get to
it's
that.
Not
later.
Those two guys.
Yeah,
right?
Like I get you're upset because the player said he's not coming back. Charles Minnie pretty clearly wanted to be back, but the money has to be right. And it sounds like, it takes two to tango. And it sounds like on the Chiefs end, they aren't as interested maybe as he would have been at that same price. That's all it is. Like, it's the business side of it. I don't fault Charles Minnie. If he was told basically that they're not going to meet the number he wants, and therefore he already knows that he's not coming back, if in fact that's what happened, him saying I'm not coming back is not trashing the city. Well, I don't have a problem with it at all.
A month, 2 months down the line, if he's still not signed, upset. And all of a sudden he comes back to Kansas City because he finds out the market wasn't there,
You shouldn't be mad at the guy because he wants to make more money.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some baseball a little. We can get back to the Chiefs in just a bit, guys. Max Scherzer, obviously one of the great pitchers in Major League Baseball history. He has some ideas. He's always been outspoken. He's at a point in his career where he obviously can be. He carries weight with what he says, given how much he's done for the sport and how effective he's been. Some of these are pretty radical, I think, rule changes. There's a few that I'm intrigued by. So one is he says we should penalize baseball teams for pulling starters early and make qualifications for being pulled, including, hey, you got to complete 6 innings or throw 100 pitches or allow 4 runs or more. So none of this like, hey, first inning, you're getting roughed up. You're out unless you give up. Four runs. You know,
I don't
stuff
hate
like
that. What's wrong with that?
What's
crazy is that like forces to pitch in the 6th and the 7th a lot is what happens here. These guys that are 97 pitchings throwing a one hitter all of a sudden have to go into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. That one, it makes it interesting. There's certain circumstances where it could be disastrous. Another one, he says once qualified, he believes that he wants the designated hitter gets to be in for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. Like that one doesn't seem all that crazy.
He said,
I won often, so why can't they stay in the game?
He says, then maybe there's a free substitution where you could pinch hit or pinch run for somebody if you want to. So just a free sub, it doesn't count against like...
they don't have to stay in the game. They can just come in for one at bat?
That's how I read it. There's a free substitution where you can pinch hit or pinch run for somebody if you want to.
Do you know how much that would change roster construction? If Dyron Blanco was allowed to come into the game, simply run on the bases, and then could just leave the game and the other person could be back in to hit again... Well, I mean,
this is bordering
the entire
on the
dynamics of a roster is different.
This one's that suggestion's the most radical.
I don't like that one's
the most radical because that's venturing down the territory of what we crushed a couple months ago, which was that golden at bat thing or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Whereas basically you could,
I could just let Vinny come in or Bobby come in. And smash.
Yeah, you would have Bobby. He hit in his normal spot third and then or second. I'm sorry, and then you say, oh. By the way, we want him to come up next inning in the 9th spot, and he still gets to come up again in the 3rd spot. You know,
I think if you get a free hitter, they have to be like over the age of 40 and just have like a Matt Stairs vibe about him.
He also,
you know, if you just get one free at bat, it should be a guy like that.
He also suggested prohibiting teams from getting the automatic runner in extra innings as a possible deterrent for pulling starters early.
Okay, so if you pull your starter early, you're not going to get the guy on second base.
Yeah.
And like most of the time, you're like, well, I don't know, what percentage of baseball games go to extra innings? So... do I take the chance on pulling the starter because that gives me a better chance to win the game? I'm already losing if the starter doesn't get... you probably take the risk. That's what it's kind of fun about it is you're like, I'm going to lose this game if I don't pull this guy. I got to solve this problem now and worry about extra innings later because I don't know exactly what percentage of extra games go to extra innings in baseball. 5%, 10% maybe?
I might have missed it if you guys say this. What is considered early? Like, is it sub 6 innings? Is it after 6 you're allowed?
If you're getting pulled in the fourth inning, that's early.
If you're getting pulled in the sixth inning, is
nowadays,
that,
if you're getting pulled in the fifth, I don't think that's early. You would obviously like to get 5 innings.
But Scherzer thinks it is early.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't like these guys who are coming out after 89 pitches in the fifth inning. He wants them to have to be starters.
Throw 100 pitches.
Pitch for a while. Throw at least 100 pitches. Least, be in six, there a okay. little while.
Cool.
Approximately 10%, by the way, of regular season games go to extra innings. So you probably rob yourself earlier in that case.
The only thing, doesn't this go exactly against some of these suggestions from him, what baseball's concerned about, which is...
pace?
Well, pace.
For one.
Pace for one, but also the arm injury concerns and the velocity, and it's not even so much the
but
amount
we all
of pitches.
Know, like, it's, velocity is the... like, people are like, why are there so many pitcher injuries? everyone has done a million amounts of like Jeff Passan wrote an entire book on it. There have been study after study after study in youth sports, college sports, high school sports, the pros. It's just velocity. There's not like some
burst, they call it burst pitching.
Yeah, there's no like secret mystery.
Yeah, it's burst pitching. It's maxing out on your velocity, and the cycle is rough because if you're a high school kid, you want to get noticed by one of the top programs.
You can't throw.
You got to max out. And same thing applies college pitcher to getting drafted. But that it's a bad cycle. I don't know how you get out of it.
The only way to do it would be massive high school baseball reform in which it was disallowed, and like you just can't. So instead, they do these other things, which is, the Royals, for instance, don't really let you go comfortably 25% or 30% more in the innings you pitched the year before that. So like just know whatever Chris Bubich pitched, they don't really want to go 25% or 30% higher than that number. It's velocity. It's always been that arms weren't really designed to do that. And I guess until like we genetically change over time in order to be able to throw that hard.
Yeah.
Like it's just, Scherzer, it's just going to be a problem.
Scherzer also was quoted in this article. I believe originally it was from SI. He said, because the league has always wanted more offenses, how do you get more offense? Let the starter stay in for the third time. We know it. Do you want more offense? Here you go. Just make the starter stay in. You'll get a more entertaining product. No one wants to see the starter go five innings, no runs, 75 pitches and pulled because of the third time through. Then he was asked, hey, would the MLB Players Association get behind a concept like the qualified starter? He says they have to. You have to address this injury bug. And in this piece, it says Major League Baseball has begun internal discussions of how to address this very starting pitching problem. So I don't know. I mean, like there's a graph in this article that shows the length of starts by MLB season, regular season starts by length. And it goes back from 2014 to 2025 and 2024. And you can obviously tell like the chart would go from up here and it's a pretty steady, sharp decline in regular season starts by length. And it really dipped right 2019, I would say, is like when it really took the biggest dive.
So like part of that is pitcher injury. I'm not trying to deny that that's part of it. The other part, and this is where Scherzer is trying to combat it, which I don't think is crazy, is analytics caught up. Everyone ran all of these simulations and all of these numbers, Gold. Do you know what it bore out? If you let your guy face a lineup for a third time, he is statistically likely to do way worse. Just way worse. People don't want to leave their pitcher in, not just because they're protecting the injury, but because they're more likely to get their ass kicked.
The number of 100 pitch games has decreased 70% in the past 10 seasons. Six inning starts even are down 36%. Starts with four runs allowed have gone down 10%. That's where we're at with Major League Baseball. And someone on the text line, it's a fair point. They say it's not just velocity. I think it's spinning the ball. I think it's a combination. The article specifically is just talking about the burst pitching. But yes, I think obviously your elbow's not meant to not only torque the way it
when
is.
When I was
but
a kid, they used to tell us we were going to get hurt if we taught kids curveballs too young. It was like when I was like, I played in some little leagues like when you were like 11 or 12 when you weren't allowed to throw a curveball or whatever.
So it's a simple solution. Just don't play 162 games. 100% with you. I'm totally with you.
Wouldn't that solve it?
I'm with you. Okay. Give me 100 games and let's be done. It's 100 games and I'm fine. We just know the reality of the financial and why they won't do that. But I'm totally with you from an injury perspective and just from an entertainment perspective. Let's just do 100 game baseball season, please. Sign me up for that. I would.
Do you know much quicker? Just like 130 would feel like at this point.
True.
Like that we just no longer played when like snow could still hit the ground in a baseball stadium.
Yeah. $110, $130, you know?
Yeah.
Finish the season out ahead of football season or you get into August and that's when things wrap up. I mean,
I know it's the fall classic. I understand. But having the World Series on October 31st in Boston when it's, 25 degrees outside, when 90% of the season was played when it was 80 degrees outside, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But I know that's not the line of thinking that Major League Baseball has. Anyway, up next, let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. Talk about where the regression could exist, thinking of baseball with the Kansas City Royals, and what I think is an unbelievable story happening right now in college basketball. We'll tell you what it is next.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.